Donald Trump's victory in the US presidential election, Bitcoin was one of the assets that surged in value. Now, this was widely felt to be a response to Trump's promise to establish a strategic Bitcoin reserve, essentially holding a large stock of the cryptocurrency as a security. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Analytics Insight podcast, where we talk about the ever-evolving tech space. And I'm your host, Priya Dayalani. On November 13, the week after Trump's win, the value of the global crypto market topped around US$3 trillion for the first time in 3 years. Now, many believe that this surge is largely attributed to the favorable political climate of Donald Trump's return to the presidency, which many believe will boost the adoption and regulation of virtual digital assets. So what's next? Now, let's decode this with Fugar Usizade, Chief Operation Officer at BitGate, and try to learn more about what the future trends would be. Hi, Fugar. How are you doing?
I'm great. And thanks for having me in this very exciting time of the ups and downs, where everyone is discussing what's going to happen in crypto market. Market is actually still keeps growing, but also we have seen a lot of volatility, especially with, as you mentioned, President Donald Trump's pre-election promise, then him launching his own and his wife's First Lady's token. And then today we see that those tokens lost their value. It's a very interesting times to be at.
Definitely, you said it pretty well, Fugar, and we are going to decode a lot of aspects and, of course, learn some insights from you as well in terms of how probably one can navigate this, you know, the ever-evolving crypto market. But before that, Fugar, we would like to know more about BitGate. Can you help us understand what exactly the company is into? What's the specialization or any particular solution, you know, the company is offering?
BitGate is a true Web3 company. We have our both centralized and decentralized offering along with our investment and media arm. But many people know us as a centralized exchange because BitGate today stands very strong as the world's second largest crypto exchange. We serve 100 million customers, and we are also second largest crypto exchange by our perpetual and derivative trading volume. When it comes to our total volume, both with derivative markets and spot market, we are the fourth largest crypto exchange. All these numbers definitely put us as one of the strongest players in the market in terms of centralized exchange offering. And we've been growing very, very much in last 3-4 years. And also I want to mention, compared to some other very old crypto centralized exchanges, we are one of the youngest. We have been in the market only for 6 years. Therefore, our growth is one of the fastest that the market has ever witnessed. When it comes to BitGate as a centralized exchange, we've been having a successful partnership with our ambassador, football legend Lionel Messi, and we're also proud sponsor of the La Liga Spanish Football League. These two partnerships also put BitGate in the minds of the football enthusiasts and people who love being in an active lifestyle as we bring the joy of the football to 2.5 billion people globally. Therefore, we've been very active in terms of engaging with our users and building that meaningful bridge and also onboarding more people to the crypto market. Today, we are also proud because we've been doing a very smart investments, because our ethos investing in the ecosystem was never about market and market trend, whether it is bullish or bearish. Actually, we were always focusing on how we can build a long-term impact. 3 years ago, in the middle of the bear market, we invested $30 million to BitKeep, decentralized wallet, and rebranded it to BitGate Wallet. Today, BitGate Wallet also serves 60 million customers, and we recently surpassed both Trust Wallet and MetaMask in monthly downloads, becoming crypto's one of the most exciting decentralized wallets. Therefore, when we look into our offering, we are a truly Web3 company that can offer both centralized solution and decentralized solution. And serve customers virtually anywhere in the globe. Of course, we don't operate in some countries due to the legal restrictions, but we can serve almost everyone globally. And we believe that future is truly decentralized. Therefore, we will keep investing in decentralized solutions, but also we are very strong in our centralized exchange offering.
Great. I think that was phenomenal, Avgar. Thank you for sharing an insightful introduction about BitGet. And the numbers that you shared are quite impressive. And I'm really glad to see how BitGet is, you know, carving out a niche in the crypto world and the Web3 world also. Moving ahead, I think, Avgar, you are an award-winning senior manager and communication expert with 15 years of progressive hands-on experience and which has been, spanning across a Fortune 500 giants, driven some dynamic startups. So, we would like to know more about you, Avgar. If you could tell us more about yourself, how has your journey been till date, or, what kind of sparked your interest towards BitGet?
I always say people usually come to crypto thanks to media's forever or never ending narrative about investing $100 and becoming millionaire over the night. And that was, unfortunately, one of the narratives that put the industry down. I came to crypto back in 2017. Until 2017, as you mentioned, I worked in Fortune 500 companies like Sony and Cosbert. And eventually, I ended up building my own startup that we were lucky enough to be able to exit at. It was a unicorn. I exited at $2 billion valuation, while my teammate still keep working in the same company. And they, as per my knowledge, they just filed for the IPO at the New York Stock Exchange, a very successful business. But when at 20-something, you end up getting several millions in your bank account as a young entrepreneur, excitement ends and a lot of bureaucracy begins that you have never known about. I had to prove to my bank that this money is mine and I can use it. And every time I wanted to transfer, buy a property or invest somewhere, it was a rounds and rounds of hell with a lot of paperwork that really made me very upset. And the last drop of the this saga on the with my bank was when they called me and they were like, "Oh, you have this money. You have to invest it. Let us help you. There's opportunities. You will get 1.5% in return on investment, 2 point return on investment." And it was very funny for me that what is this 1.5% return on investment? It's even below the inflation. I will be literally losing my money. And at that point, the doors of crypto opened for me and I decided that it is the time to kind of debank myself and own what I really have. And I start investing into crypto. I start holding crypto assets and invested in crypto ventures. And since 2017, of course, that was an exciting time of the ICO booms. And I always say 2017-18 was like a crypto's dot-com boom era. And that is exactly when most of large crypto ventures were founded. BitGet was founded also in 2018. And since then, I have been on and off around both as an investor of the large crypto ventures, and also I've been invested in several crypto VC funds. And eventually, 2.5 years ago, I was helping BitGet with the marketing and communication side. And 2 years ago, I've been promoted to being the chief operating officer. And at that point, to give an idea to the listeners, BitGet was a relatively small exchange with only 12 million users. Today, we have 100 million users. In 2 years, I helped company to grow 8 times in terms of the user base. And today, we move around $20 billion worth assets. Every day, we facilitate $20 billion transactions. And also, we are today world's number one copy trading platform with more than 200,000 elite traders with their trades being able to copy. And it was an incredible journey for me because one thing, as in, like, if you look at my career and my past, I've been working at traditional, like a very stable 9-to-5 jobs at Fortune 500s. I've built my own startup. And today I am opening a door of a Web3 for myself, learning every day because it's a new industry. It isn't something that you would go to a four-year university and get taught and come back and start working. Every day is something new happening. The industry is so rapidly developing that you keep learning every day. Therefore, it's a very exciting place to be. And that was one of the reasons we announced that under my leadership, we will be having blockchain for use initiative. We pledge to spend $10 million in the next 5 years to educate more people to come into the crypto. Because as I mentioned, for me, crypto is not about investing $100, becoming a millionaire overnight. And for me, crypto and blockchain is not about trading only. For us, it is about coming and building and helping the industry to grow. And therefore, we need more marketeers, we need more accountants, more lawyers, more HRs, and almost every profession, we need them in Web3. And as a part of Blockchain for Youth Initiative, we partner with 60 universities globally. We try to educate more young students to explore job opportunities, come join crypto movement, come join blockchain industry and help to bring more talent to our industry. And of course, to retrain more people to change their current jobs into and step into the Web3 movement. Because without enough talent, without brilliant minds, our industry can never grow. And there's a huge demand for great minds to come and join. And that's one of the kind of proud moments for me that reflects my journey, where I started in a traditional business, moved to Web2, and then ended in Web3. And I believe everyone can replicate the same success and come work in Web3 industry. And with my colleagues, we are very happy to Blockchain for Youth initiative. And I think $10 million is a huge investment promise that we are planning to keep in next 5 years.
That's really interesting to, you know, hear about your role and how you're contributing to BitGate's growth and innovation. And of course, you also highlighted some really important aspects as to, you know, we need new talent and updated skills in terms of how we can probably make more advancements in blockchain and Web3. And we need more awareness, more education. And definitely, I think over the years, and of course, in the coming years, we'll be able to achieve that as well. And I'm really glad, you know, to see how your leadership is influencing the company's trajectory, and especially in such a fast evolving industry like crypto. Moving back to, you know, where I started, I think many analysts and crypto experts predict that Trump's return to power will bring a more crypto friendly regulatory environment, which could also lead to a sustained growth in this sector. Now, his promise to reduce the regulatory burden on digital assets and, you know, support the crypto industry is expected to fuel further price increases, I think, especially for Bitcoin and Ethereum. So how do you see the crypto market evolving after Trump's second term?
I always say crypto as an industry itself, unfortunately, mainly run by the narrative. We saw the same happening during the ETF approval process. There, whenever there was a ETF approval related the news, even when SSE's Twitter profile was hacked, market moved much more in terms of the price increase. And when the actual ETFs were approved, we saw that market corrected, market actually crashed a little bit before it finally start growing again. Because in my opinion, market is reacting faster to the rumors, but actual money flow and money reflection doesn't happen the rapid way we expect it to happen. With the similar happened with the President Trump, because his pre-election narrative was very pro-crypto, and we saw that he launched his own token right before going into the office, and all these two actions moved crypto market a lot. First of all, the Bitcoin and promised that there will be Bitcoin reserves, move the Bitcoin prices. And eventually, because his popularity and people trying to support him before inauguration, more people came to the industry and bought his token. Those two actions actually moved the market up. But since he pledged into the office, we have seen that market is not doing as well as we expected. Bitcoin performing under 100K and all the other tokens. And we see the fear and greed index also being very volatile, and people are not seeing it as it is. Because pre-election, people will start already talking about Bitcoin at 250K, Bitcoin at $500,000. But unfortunately, this is not happening. And this is not happening for several reasons. First, we saw that Some executive orders that signed by President-elect were challenged at the court. President-elect did not actually prioritize crypto investments as much. Lastly, we saw that China's DeepSeek challenging America's AI market. And because AI market already had so many billions invested, that US government rushed to save AI market. And I think it kind of stole the shine from the crypto narrative. All these aspects are, for me, makes me to believe into a skeptical approach unless we see a rapid change in terms of approving some or signing some executive orders to promote cryptocurrencies within the industry. And I think if President Trump or new administration, if they take several actions, the market sentiment can change immediately. One of them is either the US government itself or some states actually having the Bitcoin reserves can change the narrative and propel the price, or US government deciding to invest more money into the crypto industry, the same way they pledged to spend $500 billion into AI if they do similar promise for crypto ventures. And lastly, if they introduce a new legal bill to make crypto more accessible and more easy. But also, let's not forget that America is one of the biggest industries, and as a, in my opinion, like a global currency, cryptocurrency market is still, I'm expecting it to grow and have an increased adoption both for the decentralized technologies and decentralized financial solutions along with the centralized offering. I think in next 2-3 years, we will see more and more need coming toward the decentralized solutions, and there will be also a huge interest. I think that one of the reasons will keep a crypto market to grow is the institutional investors. And when I talk about institutions, it's not only about large financial institutions or asset holders, but also I want to include the government. We saw a huge also increasing interest by the BRICS nations. And I think with the Trump trying to apply tariffs to some nations, the cryptocurrency topic will emerge again as a, one of the ways kind of a, to punish US government or to de-dollarize global trade. And I think cryptocurrencies can serve as a great alternative for both these reasons.
Well, I think that's a really fascinating take on how the political landscape, especially with the Trump's second term, it could definitely influence the crypto market. And it's really clear that regulatory shifts and even policy changes could create either new opportunities or for that matter, even present significant challenges for the industry. But nevertheless, I also very much liked your thought about the crypto reserves and, you know, how it can probably impact or, you know, influence the crypto industry. If we you know, dive deeper, I want to highlight that the trading relationship between the US, Mexico and Canada is the most important set of trade relations for all three countries. But again, on I think February 1, 2025, President Trump imposed 25% tariffs, which were actually subsequently delayed by 1 month. And they kind of imposed these tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico and 10% tariffs on energy imports from Canada to address, you know, the flows of fentanyl and the illegal migration. So how do you know, you, what's your perspective or your take on these new tariffs on Canada, Mexico and China? And how do you think that it can affect the global crypto markets?
First and foremost, I think Trump is a great businessman, and he uses tariffs as a way of a negotiating power and dictating whatever he wants to achieve, backed by the fact that US is one of the world's largest economy and it has a huge impact to the global trade. Secondly, I believe that tariffs are already creating an uncertainty, and markets are shaken not by the tariff itself, but the possible uncertainty it can cause, and also it leads to increased volatility both in the stock exchange and stock market and cryptocurrency market. Secondly, I think that we forget one important fact, that today global trade is happening using US dollars. And for US, just to print more doesn't cost anything. We saw that during the President Trump's first presidency, during the global pandemic, the US government ended up sending free money to all its citizens. And the whole world had to bear the consequences, because if today, let's say, Mexico decides to print its pesos, Canada decides to print its Canadian dollars, there will be huge impact to its economy, both from the inflation side and also both from the needs of to produce more goods to in order not to make sure that the economy doesn't suffer. But for US, the situation is different, because every country in the globe kind of bears that consequence of US printing more dollars. Therefore, we need to always, I believe that we need to always understand that the US is using, in my opinion, tariffs more as a negotiating power or planning to dictate its own produce rather than actually kind of putting an extra tax on different countries. But also we saw that China already announced retaliatory tariffs into American EV vehicles and American energy, which further destabilized the market. And more these kind of a trade wars, I think, will put a lot of tension and will cause the governments to impose more stricter regulations, both on stock market, any sort of investment vehicles, cryptocurrencies, will cause to shift and will force mainly its retail users and citizens to shift into the different ways of investing the money and collecting the money, because every nation this way will try to keep their wealth within its own borders. And I think further we will see, if all this happens, I hope it doesn't, further we will see a huge decrease in foreign direct investment points from the large nations, which will also can cause a huge harm in terms of innovation that we see in global economy. Therefore, in my opinion, the Trump's tariffs are not a good idea at all in terms of global economy. And I hope President Trump just sticks using them as a power gear to have a better negotiation power and upper hand rather than actually imposing them, because it could definitely cause a domino effect for entire global economy. And definitely cryptocurrencies are a very small portion, and in cryptocurrency investments are very small, and it is kind of a first thing that are withdrawn when the market goes much volatile than the risk appetite of the investors. One of the, I think, recent examples to this was the DeepSeek incident. When China's DeepSeek was introduced, it dropped NVIDIA stocks, I believe, 200 points. And eventually, the stock market started bleeding. And with that, we saw that a lot of money was withdrawn from the crypto exchanges. Around 390,000 traders were liquidated, which it was one of the biggest liquidation events in the recent history. Therefore, in my opinion, it will be much, much harder and harsher situation to navigate if eventually Canada, Mexico, China tariffs end up happening in a month or two, and then other nations will start, I believe, building coalitions and trying to impose more and more stricter rules in order to navigate this global trade war.
Well, yeah, I kind of, you know, like I really like your perspective and your take on this. And I think the impact of these tariffs on trade across North America will be particularly impactful, not only because of the large volume of trade that is involved, but also because of the importance of supply chain, which kind of compromises around 50% of the intra-regional trade. And having said that, I think, you know, while we are talking about these tariffs, we have also undergone a long evolution in terms of how we pay. I mean, the payments have come through a long way. You know, we initially used to have traditional cash systems, then we shifted to credit cards, we have digital payments, and now, you know, we are dealing with cryptocurrencies. However, a major challenge of the current financial system is its reliance on intermediaries, resulting in high transaction costs, low processing times, and also lack of transparency. So in this context, I think PayFi, payment finance, emerges as a revolutionary solution. So how does, you know, BitGet Wallet's PayFi ecosystem contribute to making crypto a very practical and everyday financial tool?
I think, like, when we talk about payments and importance of payment facilities, there are two important aspects to kind of zoom into. One is the retail users and the opportunities for the retail users, and of course, the cross-border inter-government payments. While the second is a much complicated situation, first is easier, and I think BitGet Wallet's PayFi ecosystem is actually making the everyday financial tool of the payments much practical and much easy. First and foremost, of course, we have our deposit assets. When one deposits its assets into the saving account and uses the yields for daily expenses, we call it like buy now and pay never model. Of course, you need to put the initial deposit and then gain the yields daily. For example, if we talk about the traditional financial system, the our banks, as I mentioned, one of the reasons I came to the crypto industry, because banks offer a very small yield, and usually this yield forces you to lock your deposits for a longer time, and you only get the yields deposited at the end of the period. But with the cryptocurrencies, flexibility, and also blockchain technologies, easy to use, transparent models, we can actually give people yields in hourly, even in a second or minute basis. And usually with the BitGet PayFi system, we have the opportunity to give users their yields in an hourly basis, and they can cover their daily expenses. This way, we give access to the funds in a modern and in a very agile way that everyone can take advantage and not wait much to yield actually to come and to be deposited. Secondly, we are building an exciting ecosystem based on the existing models, because in last 10 years, narrative was that Web3 ecosystem and blockchain technologies is so great and so modern that it will challenge traditional financial systems. But eventually, we all came to realization that it is not about competing, it's about cooperation. And our card built on a MasterCard system actually helps a very smooth international transactions, and also has a very lucrative global exchange rate, making the spending cryptocurrencies backed, cryptocurrency backed spendings virtually possible everywhere in the world. Therefore, offering, and as I mentioned already, the savings model based on earning and also the MasterCard supported card system for the smooth transactions makes our PayFi system one of the best in the industry. And definitely, we have facilities to make both international and also local transfers with the very minimal fees. And I think when it comes to the legacy systems and their high fees, is that when you look into any bank, you will see that they always have very huge headquarters, a lot of people working in them, and they have much more expenses because they rely on old paper system. If you today go to any traditional bank to open a bank account, you will need to bring bag of papers, and you will end up receiving another bag of papers. You have to sign in 20 places. When you put everything into digital, things become cheaper, faster, and efficient. And thanks to blockchain technologies, this is exactly what we are doing. And therefore, our PayFi system is having the minimal fees and easily competes with any legacy provider out there. And our aim is always to have the user-first idea and make sure that we offer a solution to our users to earn, to make, to trade, and of course to spend crypto in a most fastest and efficient way and a smooth way.
Right. Thank you for sharing that, Pugar. I think, you know, your wallet, the BitGet wallet's PayFi ecosystem is definitely bridging the gap between crypto and everyday financial transaction. And it's really exciting to see, you know, how these new innovations and new developments are making digital currencies more accessible and, you know, usable in our daily lives. So, you know, I think if Trump follows, you know, on his commitment to reduce regulatory hurdles, we could see more crypto investments in, you know, in ETFs. I think we'll get more ETFs approval, which could, you know, further boost institutional involvement in the crypto space, like you mentioned. So I think this would lead to a more stable increase in crypto prices and, you know, wherein the market becomes more mainstream and regulated. So if you had to make, you know, one bold prediction about the future of crypto for in the coming years, what would it be?
I think, as you mentioned, especially in the next 2-3 years, America will try to kind of win back their leadership position in crypto, both with crypto offerings, both with institutional involvement and also innovation and development. And in my opinion, the next big thing and the next interesting thing will be the DeFi evolving offering for both institutions and the retail users. And we will see more and more people interested in decentralized finance and what decentralized finance has to offer in terms of earning and also in terms of the spending. Because I think with more regulatory scrutiny and more nations forcing centralized exchanges to be very strictly regulated and having less flexibility in terms of listing projects or serving the customers, the centralized exchanges will become bank kind of an organizations that serve mainly institutional leads and act as a bridge between retail users and traditional institutions and service providers. Meanwhile, the decentralized ecosystems will be keeping the excitement of actually trading, investing, and making more money. Therefore, as I mentioned, that was one of the key reasons that we invested into our BitGet wallet to strengthen our decentralized offering in parallel as our mission as a centralized exchange. Therefore, I believe in the next 2-3 years, the boldest, biggest, and coolest thing will be decentralized finance, both for institutions and retail users.
Right, definitely. And it's, you know, we've also heard that markets care usually about tangible actions. And, you know, Trump seems more determined to deliver on his promises. But I guess only time will tell whether his economic agenda is just merely wishful thinking. But eventually, I think ensuring the long-term success of this space in the crypto space can, you know, be only done through a very robust regulatory framework, which should carefully balance the need for security with the desire for innovation and growth. And, you know, such an initiative can only be carried out with a very sophisticated and a much improved level of collaboration between the governments, communities, regulatory bodies, and of course, industry stakeholders. So again, you know, it's time will tell as to, you know, what we'll be witnessing in the future. Anyway, Abhugar, it was a pleasure having you with us on a podcast today. And thank you for giving us so much insights about the crypto space and helping us understand about the BitGet's, you know, PayFi ecosystem and, you know, how it is carving a niche in the industry. And we were really glad and happy to, you know, hear about the BitGet's growth. And of course, we definitely hope that the future seems really bright for BitGet.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a really great pleasure to get a stage to share about BitGet and also macroeconomic situation that is happening. And I think it will make crypto a topic for some time because let's not forget President Trump is not only a great business person, but he was also a great entertainer and invested in entertainment. And he heavily relies on the public voice and what people talk about. And I think crypto nation, crypto heads, we know how to talk a lot and make the buzz around crypto. We have to keep the crypto conversation happening in order to have more impact and more force over the government, legislators, institutions, and investors to attract more attention to our industry and to grow it, to make it mainstream.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree with you. And thank you for saying that loud and clear, Abhugar. Thank you so much for your insights. And this is for our listeners. Stay tuned for our upcoming podcast, and you can definitely view them on Spotify and other leading platforms. Thank you so much.